Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. There are a lot of things that go together. Take, for example, peas and carrots, mac and cheese, Ben and Jerry. Well, you can add St. Louis and baseball to that list. The Cardinals have a storied history in the city. Going to a hot and humid summer Cardinals game almost seems like a rite of passage for many people. The team's historic success with 11 World Series championships only adds to the luster. Now, the Cardinals owners are preparing to make a big ask of its fans, a proposition that will likely amount to millions in taxpayer dollars. That's according to a new story by freelance journalist Eric Berger. Eric's latest story was commissioned by the River City Journalism Fund, and Eric joins us now. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Hi, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
There are a lot of dollar amounts in the story that you've written, but I want to start with two of them, and that's $500 million and $600 million. And those are the dollar amounts of recent taxpayer-funded improvements for the Milwaukee Brewers and Baltimore Orioles stadiums. Now, you talked with Cardinals President Bill DeWitt III, and he told you that whatever the Cardinals ask of taxpayers would be in that range. Eric, did he say what the team could possibly need $500 million for in terms of renovations for Busch Stadium?
So just to clarify, he did not say that that's how much they would ask of taxpayers, but he described that as a similar scale of the project. But as far as what that money would go towards, he did not specify what particular needs there were at Busch Stadium or what features they would add, but he said that it would go towards handling whatever back of the house things the stadium needs, and I think he described it as fun and new interesting features for fans.
Mm-hmm. Now, the current Busch Stadium, which is Busch Stadium 3, that opened in 2006. Are you aware of any kind of big ticket renovation items the stadium needs?
I'm not. He was relatively vague, I guess you would say, in saying what needs there were.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any sense as to maybe why that was the case?
I didn't. He described the team as being in preliminary discussions about putting a proposal together.
Let's take a step back here, Eric. The DeWitt family bought the Cardinals from Anheuser-Busch in 1995 for $150 million. What did they say of the Cardinals Stadium at that time, which was Busch Memorial Stadium?
Right. At the time, one of Bill DeWitt's co-owners, Fred Hanser, said that they had every intention of keeping the stadium, that they might upgrade or that they would upgrade the field, but that they did not have plans to build a new stadium. But then a couple years later, they started to lobby for funding for a new stadium, saying that they needed that because the existing Busch Stadium would no longer be viable soon.
And how much was it that the new stadium cost, and how much of it was privately funded versus publicly financed?
Yeah, they described it as, or they have described it as being 90% privately financed. Economists and people who were opposed to the stadium have disputed that figure. One of the economists I interviewed put the figure, I think it was at 80%, and in her calculation, that also did not include the tax breaks the team got or the money that the state invested in a highway renovation or the ongoing municipal costs for the stadium.
And does that cover all of the public assistance that was provided for the stadium?
For the stadium, you know, it's possible I'm leaving out another expenditure for the state or city or county, but the team did receive state and federal incentives to build Ballpark Village, which is, you know, as I'm sure most people know, a development that surrounds Busch Stadium.
Right. Now, you also spoke with economists, you know, you just mentioned that, and there were a number of them that you spoke with for the story. What was it that they had to say about the benefit or the lack thereof of publicly financed sports stadiums?
Yeah, I think there is a consensus among economists that these stadiums do not stimulate the local economy, but instead they are just the public funding of a stadium usually just produces a reallocation of people's disposable income. So instead of maybe paying for a concert ticket or some other entertainment option, they would instead pay to go to a Cardinals game or a Blues game. And so it doesn't increase the size of the economic pie, but rather just shifts money around.
Mm-hmm. So it's a shuffling then.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be fair, it's not uncommon that public subsidies go to fund projects like this, correct?
Right. This is something that most, if not all, owners of American professional sports teams seek. And in most cases, they are successful in obtaining that public funding.
And Eric, do you have any inkling for what kind of taxpayer assistance the Cardinals may be asking for, be it sales tax, you know, tax breaks or something else?
I don't. Bill DeWitt III did not delve into specifics. He said they were still at the early stages of this. But when I asked him about the potential cost of renovating Busch Stadium, he referred to the projects, as you mentioned, in Milwaukee and Baltimore, mm-hmm. and those both cost more than $500 million. Now, those were a little bit different situations because those stadiums were both publicly owned venues that the teams lease from the local governments. The Cardinals own Busch Stadium, so obviously the shape of the agreement would be different. And so, you know, he compared the scale of it to those projects, but I'm not sure how much the owners would be seeking from local or state governments.
Mm-hmm. In a recent news release, St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones stated, quote, "Home games are invaluable in supporting our local businesses and helping downtown grow and thrive." Now, the news release went on to say that the team would generate $310 million in economic impact for the St. Louis metro area this season alone. Isn't it true that the Cardinals are somewhat of an economic engine for the region, Eric?
People certainly spend money to attend Cardinals games. But what I think economists point out is that they do not necessarily stimulate the local economy. And I think one of the reasons for that is, you know, obviously the Cardinals loom large in fans' mind, especially here in St. Louis. But really, there are only 81 regular season home games a year, plus maybe some playoff games and other sporting events or concerts. But really, that only amounts to about a quarter of the year. And then the rest of the year, the stadium sits empty. Also, one of the things that economists point out is that a lot of the jobs created by having a team are low-wage seasonal jobs like concessionaires or ushers. And what economists say is that they do not have a substantial effect on the local economy, mm-hmm. on a local economy.
I'm talking with freelance journalist Eric Berger. His latest piece, commissioned by the River City Journalism Fund, is about how the Cardinals plan to ask St. Louis taxpayers to help renovate Busch Stadium. Now, Eric, you mentioned Ballpark Village briefly a bit ago. That opened 10 years ago. Does the development of Ballpark Village, which has business and residential components, factor into your story at all?
Yeah, it does, because that was part of what the Cardinals ownership and lobbyists pitched to the city, county, and state when they were seeking public funding for Busch Stadium. They described it as a mixed-use development that would include residences, entertainment options, and office space. And then it got delayed because a deal with Centene fell through, and then there was the recession. But as you said, it opened 10 years ago. Now, I think there are some people who see it as having had a positive effect on downtown. I spoke with the owner of the Salt and Smoke Barbecue restaurant, and he said that it is now his busiest restaurant. But other owners of other bars and restaurants closed after Ballpark Village opened, and they said that one of, if not the main factor, was business that they lost to Ballpark Village.
Mm-hmm. And these were longstanding, up to that point, had been longstanding businesses, weren't they?
Right. Yeah. One of them was Mike Shannon's. Another one of them was the Dubliner. So those were both restaurants that had been around for a long time and places that fans would gather before and after Cardinals games.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have pointed out that those businesses may have shut down anyway. Let's take a step back here, Eric. Your piece is also very much a profile of the DeWitt family. DeWitt Sr., the patriarch of that family, bought the Browns in 1949. And in terms of Bill DeWitt Jr., the current principal owner of the Cardinals, he's had an ownership stake in the Reds, the Rangers, and the Orioles. What did doing this piece tell you about the DeWitt family?
Yeah, I think the DeWitt family is pretty unique in American professional sports. I think most, if not all, other owners made their fortunes in other industries. One that comes to mind is Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. He was a hedge fund manager and then bought the Mets in 2020 and has since spent a significant amount of money on the team. But the DeWitts, Bill DeWitt Sr., he started off really at the bottom working for Branch Rickey, who later became famous for breaking the game's color barrier, and then worked his way up towards becoming a executive of a number of different baseball franchises and having ownership stakes in a number of franchises, including of the Reds. And he actually sold the team to an ownership group that included his son, Bill DeWitt Jr. Now, Bill DeWitt Jr. did not make all of his money through the Cardinals or other franchises. He also was an investor in oil wells and Arby's franchises. But the family's still certainly one that has long ties to baseball, and those ties predate Bill DeWitt Jr.'s investment in the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Cardinals ownership, which includes the DeWitt family, I mean, they've been successful in their asks in the past. How does this one compare? I know that we have, just limited information about how much they're asking for and what they'd be asking the money to pay for. But what is your sense of that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how this compares to asks of public money like DeWitt was part of the group in Arlington, Texas that sought public money for a Rangers stadium and hinted that they could move the team from Arlington if they were not able to obtain it, or their request for public money for the new Busch Stadium, or I guess it's not that new anymore. But mm-hmm. One difference, I guess, is that this would be for upgrades to Busch Stadium rather than, building an entirely new stadium.
Right. Now, this news of the Cardinals owners planning to ask for taxpayer dollars, this comes against the backdrop of Jackson County voters earlier this month voting down a sales tax measure that would have provided $2 billion for the Chiefs and Royal Stadium projects. And in 2017, St. Louis voters said no to funding an MLS stadium. It seems like the Cardinals would face some significant headwinds in asking for taxpayer money. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they would. Now, that's not necessarily a new development. You know, they faced strong opposition in the early aughts when they were lobbying for public funding for this stadium. And, you know, because economists have studied this for a long time and, you know, reported that these are not good investments for taxpayers. Now, I know people who oppose public funding for stadiums, I think, cheered the vote regarding the Chiefs and the Royals. And there was also a failed attempt to move the Wizards and Capitals from Washington, D.C. to Virginia. And I think they maybe saw that as a game changer. But so I'm not sure how the opposition to this would compare to previous opposition towards Busch Stadium or, you know, to efforts to upgrade the Enterprise Center or to build a new stadium for the MLS team here.
Mm-hmm. Note, Eric, your piece ends with an ominous quote from team president Bill DeWitt III. He said, "I think it would be in everybody's interest for the Cardinals to be downtown indefinitely, and that's certainly our goal, but we also need to make sure our facility is viable." What did you make of that?
Yeah, I thought that was similar to quotes from owners two decades ago when there was talk of, look, we need this new stadium. Otherwise, you know, we're not sure what we're going to do. And so I would not say it amounts to a threat to move the team. But, you know, there is oftentimes during these negotiations kind of the idea put forth by owners that we need this, we need upgrades or we need a new stadium in order for the team to continue to be successful. And if we do not obtain that, you know, we may have to consider other options. And an opponent of public funding described that sort of warning or threat or hinting or however you want to describe it as extortion, you know, the idea that, look, if we don't get this public funding, we may move the team.
Mm-hmm. And that is certainly reminiscent of the DeWitt's conversations in the early 2000s when they talked with then Illinois Governor George Ryan about building a new stadium across the river in Illinois. I think, you know, it's certainly tough to imagine that the Cardinals would not be in St. Louis. Eric Berger is a freelance journalist. His latest piece in how the Cardinals plan to ask St. Louis taxpayers to help renovate Busch Stadium was commissioned by the River City Journalism Fund. Eric, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.